Hey, Kevin.
Hi, nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk with you, too. I was anxious to see Pig Hill after the joy of Willy's Wonderland. And I'm not going to even tell you how many times I have watched Willy's Wonderland because
That makes me great. That's great.
it's
Thank you.
so much fun, Kevin.
Oh,
And it ages well, it's timeless.
good.
And
That's awesome.
I see the same roots here with Pig Hill, which, and I am aghast. I'm from Pennsylvania, granted from the eastern part, from Philadelphia, but and my whole family is still there. Never heard
Wow.
about Pig Hill there in Meadville, the Radio Tower Hill.
Wow.
I am
Yeah, it's pretty
ashamed.
amazing. Yeah. It's pretty incredible, right?
Oh my God. It just blew my mind that this was not, that this is real. Pig Hill is
Yeah.
real. The folklore is real.
Well, Deb, you know what's cool too is that some of the actors and the behind the scenes crew on Pig Hill, they had a connection with George Romero from, and
Wow.
yeah, they did some, a lot of George Romero movies and things like that, and so they kind of wanted to bring back a horror, bring a horror movie to Pennsylvania, an indie horror movie, and so that's why they worked on Pig Hill and they brought it to me. But it was really cool to have that kind of, I don't say blessing of people, it's like there are a lot of George's crew and they would tell stories about him and stuff, so that was really cool.
That definitely is, and it is. It's kind of like a tacit seal of approval to have his crew members joining you with this project. But now, how did this project come to you? I know it's based on a book. Script was adapted, and I haven't read the book either. Now I got to go find the book. But
Oh, the book's intense. The ending of the book is like even more intense than this ending. You couldn't even do it.
wow.
It's
Okay,
you got to read the book.
now I really have to find the book. You saying that, now I really have to get the book. But how did this make its way to you? And then what kind of vision, what kind of personal Kevin Lewis stamp could you put on this to really make this your own?
So yeah, I got the script through a line producer of Willie's, my friend Lorene. She got it to me and I read it and I read that third act and I was like, oh my God, I got to do this movie. And the whole thing is like, okay, how do I get there? How do I make that all work? And the characters spoke to me, the story. I think we live in this gaslighting kind of grooming, isolating culture, and I just think that it was cool to have this, pig people, a MacGuffin, but there's a lot more going on. And so that's what excited me about doing this movie. Good horror is good drama. And I think that the characters in this and stuff, there's a lot of things at stake here that's very intense. And again, like I say, talking about where we are in society a little bit. So that's what drew me to it. And then my stamp, I love the whole dream sequence. I really kind of worked on that and tried to pump that up. And then trying to weave that into the cinematic realism of what's going on and trying to make everything work in this real world, but then going to a phantasmic world and then back and forth and thinking about the colors and like how much the color of red means the past, but also brings a present. And we bring red in at the very end. So it all kind of comes together that the past meets the present. And the sins of the past were visited on the sins of the present, and, so yeah, I just that's what really intrigued me. A movie like Jacob's Ladder, which I love, the original Jacob's Ladder. I just like, you could do something like that, this in and out of a, real world to a fictional, like phantasmic, dreamy world. And let's face it, movies are kind of awaking dreams, right? We're awake, but they're very dreamlike. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna lean into that. And I love David Lynch, and I love Giallo Italian cinema. And I listened to The Cure a lot making this movie. Yeah, that's kind of what drew me
Well,
to the film.
I have to say that your use of color is particularly effective in this film. I really like how you use the color and the significance as is popping up through the various acts and events of the film. And it does have, I can see a giallo influence in your work. I saw it in Willy's Wonderland. I see it again here. So you definitely have, that's becoming part of your DNA, I think, your visionary DNA. And it works so well with the type of horror that you're doing, which really stems from a dramatic storyline.
And how do you do that, right? Where it's like, you keep the drama and you keep the grounding in the real, but you kind of still have that kind of stylistic aesthetic. And that's kind of what I was trying to do, because there's another way you could have made this movie where it was more like, kind of a handheld, and it was just kind of like, raw and whatever. And I did a lot of handheld on this too, but I wanted to infuse that because that's what's going on with Carrie and her dreams. But the thing is, when I get a project, I kind of work on, all right, service the story. So I got to service the story, but I am who I am. And so I start bringing that aesthetic in because that's what I like, and that's what I like to do. And so, and I think that, a waking dream is a pretty cool way of making a movie, and that's kind of what you do when you do like a Willy's. A waking dream is like a janitor going in and these animatronics come to life, and he's not running around scared of them. He's combating them and he's cleaning. Like, what? So, yeah, I love the absurd and grounding it in the real. And that's kind of, sometimes hard to do, because it's like, you're walking that edge, man. If you go over and dip, you might be into people laughing over the pigs, laughing over the willies, or you go into them enjoying it and giving a wink and a nod. And that's kind of what I want, is that people invest, because you're asking them for their time to watch your movie, and you got to do something interesting and unique and different. And that's what I try to do,
Well, you definitely succeed in that. We have the drama happening. We have the brother and the sister. Right away, there is something. Chris is just too off the wall towards his sister. And he is always, he's so nervous and he's so overwrought. And it's like, is he tweaking through the whole film? So we have that dynamic, and Carrie just keeps defending him and overlooks things like that. Then we get Andy in there, and I'm always thrilled to see Shane West show up in anything.
Oh, he's great. He's wonderful.
And that little plot point there with his parents, and we don't really know too much about Andy until the third act. I love how you let it all, all the pieces come together in the third act. Your breadcrumbs make a full cookie.
And that was a concern of mine, because I was like, it's got to make the full cookie, because you're asking a lot of what's going on with this, and you didn't want to be somewhere you just throw it in, and then it's like, well, it's like you. So if, when you like, re, I've had people rewatch the movie, and they're like, oh, I can see things because like there's little Easter eggs that I'd kind of put in, kind of hinting what's going on, and when you know the full story, you can go back and watch it and go, oh, okay, yeah, there it is, right there. But the good news is I've had a lot of people watch the movie, and it's like it just throws them for a loop because they didn't see it. And that was the thing when I was making this film too. I was like, I was really concerned about that. Like, oh my gosh, the twist or this or that. And I thought, you know what, Kevin, just let it go. Just enjoy the ride. Make the best movie you can. If they get it, it's the ride. It's always the ride, And so you kind of learn things along the way, like these little, sometimes these things that keep you up at night. You just got to just go with your gut, and that's what I do,
Well, I've got to talk to you about your work with your DP, with Tyler Eccles. What there is some really incredible camera work happening here, Kevin. And so talk to me about how the two of you develop the visual grammar, because when we're really in Carrie's world, in the world of normal people, her work at a clinic, we get a little bloody and creepy in there, but for the most part, it's a very evenly paced. It's like you're on sticks or doing a steady cam, but then we get into the barn. The work on the camera angles with the cages and what's in the cages and the dirt and the mud and the disgust and the POV. You're shifting your POV there with a lot of dutching. It is fantastic. How did the two of you design this visual grammar to distinguish the real world from what's going on in the barn and the pigs and all of this, and then coming together in the third act?
Yeah, well, that's great. You know, my thing was, you know, when she, the whole Swill Cave stuff, I was like, it's got to be her POV because it's very dreamlike and it's what she's seeing. And so you notice there's never like a master shot. And we talked a lot about out of focus photography, and I'm a big fan of still photography. And where can be out of focus, you know, photography be art, or where does it look where it's a mistake? And so the whole plan. You know, it's out of focus, but it still's got to be story centric of what's going on and things like that. So we really worked hard on that, and also the color. You know, bringing the color in, cinematic realism when she's doing the book and the bulletin board and meeting Andy and Andy's life and stuff. And then we start going into that giallo world of the deep reds and the blues and the greens. You know, and really pumping that up, and doing, you know, like I said, you know, sticks and nice kind of classical moves of the camera, studio moves, and then we go a little more grungy and just, you know, like, I mean, there's some shots we took the lens off, you know, and we just shot, you know, and it was like, because it was her coming out of her stupor, and her drug-induced stupor. So it was just really cool and inventive, and Tyler's just a great partner to do a film with. We have the same similar taste in movies. And we talk about Holy Mountain. He brought that up a lot. You know, of course, I love like Requiem for a Dream. And those, I like doing something different and unique. And people would maybe call it artsy, but just weird. You know, we live in such a mundane world in our life sometimes. It's cool to do the weird. So,
Well, you're definitely doing the weird here once again, but the barn sequences with Carrie and with Emily, that is like, it blew my mind. Number one, you pulled it off. Number two, and you've got the whole color palette there. That is the one time we have those deep oranges and muddy browns that come in that is different than anything else in the film. So it really gives you a tone of burning disgust is what it is.
Yes, for sure. Well, I really fought hard for having the fire there, because what we shot the Swill Cave in an abandoned swimming pool in a church.
Oh my
And the
God.
thing, there was like, I wanted fire, and they're like, we don't know if we can get you fire because the fire marshal and everything. And I was like, but it has to be primal. It has to be primordial, caveman. And it's got to be different from everything else. So we got it, thank God, you know. And I mean, we got a little fire, but it works. And I was like, okay, how do we make this? Where this is what we're gonna get. How do we make it work? And so that was really cool, you know, that cave. And then we swapped it for the end when he takes, when they go down in the basement. That's the same set. So that was, and I did like that with Willie's. You know, I did Siren Sarah's set, and then we flipped it and made Tito the Turtle. So I try to be resourceful as much as I can. But yeah, I really enjoyed. I mean, and Rainey was so fantastic in those scenes, man. I mean, you know, for what to go through, and she was feeling ill the last day, and the whole scene with the slop and stuff. She wasn't feeling good, and man, she was just a champ. I was like, look, I gotta just do. I'll do two takes, but we gotta do it. And she was like, let's go, you know. So she was wonderful.
She really is, and you're really drawn to her. And Tyler gets some really front on, full frontal of her face. And there is something about her that she just draws you in. So we are with Carrie all the way on this, all the way. But I do have to point out to you one of the a very cool little thing that you did there while Emily is being fed in a cage, and it's served like pig slop, but it is on a china plate. And that
You saw that. That's good. I love it. Yeah. And that plate comes into play in the narrative. And that was something we kind of, Jared and I was working on it. Like, we got to have something to kind of hark back to that. And so we came with that idea when we were shooting that sequence. So, yeah, you saw that. It was great.
I love that. Now, I have to ask you about creating the pig.
Yes. So, Jason Baker, he's the one that did the pig masks, and he did all the special effects, and he did the grabber mask for Black Phone, and he did Terrifier 3, and he worked under Tom Savini, and is now his partner, and he's learned from Tom, and he's just fantastic, great partner to work with on this movie. And he created all the pig masks and the pig baby, the puppets, and just everything. He's wonderful. And we'd go together and look at all these different things. And I was like, I was really worried about that pig mask, because I was like, man, it's got to be something that something stands out that people mm-hmm. remember. You know, it can't just be some pig mask. And then the kid pig mask has to be a little different, you know, and then Uncle Jack's thing. So yeah, it's all just worked on it. And he did such a great job. He did the pig puppets in the dream sequence. He did the pig baby. Great.
That is creepy upon creepy. And it does. And the image of that pig mask does stay with you. So job well done with there. Because I know they're going to cut us off here soon, but in a couple minutes. Yeah. But I've got to talk to you about Ryan Liebert's editing. This could not have been an easy edit, Kevin.
No. What's funny, the director's cut, when I put the assembly, was like 2 hours and 10 minutes. And we got it down to an hour and 40. And there were times where I was like, you know, I knew it was dragging, but it's like I had to have that info, to push the narrative. And then I would be like, okay, we'll try a montage. And then I'd call up Ryan. I'd be like, okay, the one scene when things are coming together, let's do it like a videotape where you're just rewinding it, but you're flashing into all these scenes. I remember just the long pause on the phone. And then he took it and did an amazing job. And you know, Ryan's cut all my movies since Willie's. We have such a great working relationship. That's the thing, you know, you've got to get a good team behind you. Ryan's the editor on Willie's.
Mm-hmm.
Did the score, I did the voice of Willie's. He did the music for Pig Hill, which is a soundtrack, which I thought just knocked it out of the park, you know? And I just love working with people like-minded creatives, you know, that we really get along and see the same thing. But yeah, Ryan's a fantastic editor.
Well, I have to say that the score is fantastic. Yeah. It is not a traditional horror score. And it's not a traditional dramatic score. It's something that really captures the insanity of the whole idea of Pig Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's great. He came up there was a movie back in the day that we both loved, Dead Calm. And mm-hmm. I think it was Graham Revell did the score to it. And there's a breath in it, in the score, in the music. He does this, you know, this breath. And I always like, man, I got to do something like that in a movie. And this was the perfect one.
Yeah.
So we did like the breath and the pig squeals. And so really trying to do a score that was more sound designy. And then also going off to like the Cure, I listen to constantly. And that's one of my favorite groups and Emois. And they had that beautiful melancholia sound, you know, and that's kind of what Pig Hill was. So I would play that for Shiloh. I would send him a track on Disintegration and stuff. Say like get in the mood, you know, for the finale and all the stuff. And it was like, so we had that and the Goblin soundtrack from Suspiria. That was kind of another thing. So yeah, but here, yeah, Emois is just a wonderful.
I love the score here. And I have to say, I mean, Shiloh, you cast so well.
Fire. He's fire in this movie.
Awesome. I think it is the strongest performance he's had in his career thus far.
Yeah.
And it really plays well, whether you have him with Rainey's character of Carrie or opposite Shane, the hatred and animosity there is just, you could cut that tension with a knife. And
smoldering, right? He's just like a fire that just keeps on burning, you know? I was so happy that he said yes to the part because he was thinking about it and we're talking about it, and you know it's an intense part, you know. And when you commit to something like that, you got to live with that, you know. And and he finally was like, "Yeah, let's do it." And I was so excited because I was like, "Okay, now we've got the movie," you know. So all three of those, all the actors were great, but But Rainey had this transcendent quality she brought to the role of Carrie. Shane had this kind of grounded, just humble, you just feel for him and what he's gone through, you know, and then Shiloh had that intensity. So they all worked well off one another.
And I have to say, my favorite, Jeff Monahan's Reggie. I love the character of Reggie.
He's the best. Not, he is in that thing. He with George Romero. He did movies with George Romero. You know, so it was great to hear stories from him. And Jeff is amazing. He's a wonderful man.
So now, where do you go from here, Kevin? You've given us the brilliant Willy's Wonderland. Your other films thrown in there, Malibu Spring Break, The Drop, but Willy's and Pig Hill are like your two big calling cards. So what's next for you after Pig Hill?
Well, Deb, it's really cool. I've got three movies. I've got a movie called Oak. It's like it's a teen horror in the vein of like a Nightmare on Elm Street, Stranger Things. That's going to come out soon. And I've got a movie called Misdirection with Olga Kurylenko and Frank Grillo and Oliver Chevenny. It's a home invasion thriller, noir. That's coming out, I think, maybe first quarter of next year. Then I've got a movie called Driver. That's got a Willy's vibe to it. That's kind of horror comedy. It's Jeremy Piven and Caitlin Kemp and Colleen Camp. And it's basically, it takes place in the 90s about this limo driver who picks up a group of kids and they're taking him to prom. But instead of prom, he takes a slight detour. And it's kind of fun. So those are what I'm working on right now. And I've got a couple other that I'm working on. But I've got three right now ready to come out. So.
Well, yeah. I'm looking, Misdirection, when you got Olga and Frank together, that is an incredible combination.
They're fantastic, this movie.
Both of them. I talked to Olga for the very first English-speaking film that she did. I interviewed her. And to see how she's grown as an actress over the years.
Yeah.
And the intensity that she brings and the action skills that she brings. And then you put her with Frank, who is... Frank could just get a job as a stuntman if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Because he's that good. So I'm looking forward to them. I'm looking forward to Misdirection and Driver. Any prom night that goes bad, I'm in for. But...
I think you'll enjoy it. It's a fun movie, so yeah.
Well, I will be on the lookout for all of them, and hopefully we'll get to chat again. But this has been so fantastic getting to chat with you again, this time about Pig Hill. And
thank you.
I can't wait for the others, because I love your voice and your vision as a filmmaker. And Pig Hill solidified that for me, as if Willie's needed any follow-up at all. But
thank you, Deb. That makes my day, what you said. Thank you so much.
Oh, Kevin, thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful holiday season filled with plenty of pig fans.
Happy holidays to you too.